Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeCompte and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. In the Great Commission, every follower of Jesus is called to make disciples of people everywhere. In this podcast, Tom and Gavin discuss how important discipleship is to Simple Church.
All right, guys, welcome back. Gavin Durson here.
Tom LeCompte.
And we're here to talk about all things related to Simple Church, house church, micro church, organic church, actually discipleship. That's really what we want to talk about, and because for us that's one of the main reasons that we're in this. So I want to just get started off today. I want to share with you guys a passage that some of you may be familiar with, but this was Jesus's last parting words that he left with his followers. It's the Great Commission. It's in Matthew chapter 28, and it's in verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" Tom, I was reading that one day several years ago, and it dawned on me that this was a pretty important message that Jesus was giving. I had the image in my mind at the time. I was working with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I had that image in my mind of that coach that pulls that kid over who nobody's believed in, who's been on the end of the bench his whole career. And
you're talking about me, right?
I'm talking about you. And the star player has just been injured. That'd be me. And the coach grabs this kid by the face mask, and he gets in his face, and he says, "Now, look, nobody's believed in you. But I believe in you. Now get in there. Go out there and do this thing," you know. And it just kind of really dawned on me just of how powerful this was of what he said. And I think the Great Commission became great to me for the first time when I was thinking this through. And I don't know if anyone listening has ever been in the room with a person that's about to go on and pass from this life, and they've maybe uttered last words that they've shared, that, you know, there's a weightiness to that. You tune in and you listen. If your loved one is about to go on and leave this world and they share something there at the last breath, you know, you remember that. That's important. And that's essentially what Jesus is doing here. This is no small task that he leaves. And the disciples, they knew what Jesus was asking them to do. They didn't leave scratching their head thinking, "Man, I don't know, what is a disciple? How in the world are we supposed to go out and do this?" They had seen it. They had observed the master, and they had walked with him, and they knew that they were then now to go out and replicate what Jesus had been doing with them. And so to me, this is the reason why we're here. And I'll be honest, I can get so frustrated sometimes talking about church stuff. I mean, we can talk about those issues, about what we do when we meet, and those are all important issues. But to me, the reason you're a part of Simple Church is because you long to be a part of this Great Commission. And you long to help other people be a part of it, not just spectate or not just help support other people that are involved in the Great Commission. But you yourself want to be someone who is engaged in participating in the Great Commission. And I believe, as has been written by many people, that if you can focus on that, if we were to just zap our brains of everything we think we're supposed to know about being a Christian, and we simply read this Great Commission, then we look back through Jesus's life and saw how he did that, and we said, "Jesus, we want to join you in your continual discipleship of people, and we want to follow in your pattern, in your footsteps," that if we could do that and forget all the things that we would know, I think something like organic church, something like Simple Church would happen and emerge naturally. Do you agree, Tom? What do you think about that?
Well, this verse is important to me, and it's important to my wife. I mentioned earlier that I was raised in church. I came to the Lord as a boy, but it wasn't until I was in my 20s where God got serious with me and I got serious with God. And there was one time, about 23 years ago, that God just got hold of Bonnie and I, my wife, and really made clear the idea that this is for you, Tom. This is for you, Bonnie. It's actually for everyone, but this I want you to take this seriously. So much so that we spent that year selling off everything we had, looking for a place to go and serve him. And we ended up in Kenya for about 7 years. I was a helicopter pilot for a group called Heli Mission, and I was able to fly for various missions and relief agencies, missions, churches. God made me change my life for this verse. And I hope that I haven't changed, you know, the way I've been, you know, the way back. I mean, I haven't reverted back to what I was before he changed me. I want to spend, you know, not only my energies and my hours, my vocation, I want to do this. I want to make disciples. And I don't want to do it just 40 hours a week or anything like that. I want my life to be about making disciples. And I hope that my wife and I are doing this to some degree. I don't know if I mentioned in an earlier podcast, but my wife and I are in a parachurch organization. You mentioned Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We're working with InterVarsity. We're working with international students at the University of Louisville. When we came back from Kenya and finished my seminary degree and everything with the intention of going back, that got blocked. But then God showed us, look what's in your backyard. You've got the whole world in your backyard with international students, with refugees, with we've spent the last 15 years just working with those international students. Discipleship is more than preaching. It's more than walking up to somebody with a tract and, you know, doing a drive-by evangelism, you know, hope you accept Jesus someday. What International Student Ministry has taught us is discipleship is very, very relational. It's not a program. It's not something that can be done part-time. It's not something that you can plan on. I mean, you can make some plans, but discipleship is living and living among people, living with people. It's modeling. It's teaching. It's sitting down with someone. It's having a meal with them. And this is what we do in our church. We have a lot of international students in our church, and that's how they find Jesus. They don't find them, you know, doing the expected things, like going to a church service or a crusade or anything like that. Even the word crusade is offensive to some. They find it living life with a Christian person.
Yeah. If we believe that we are called to be a part of this great commission, then what is a disciple? You know, what does a disciple look like? What is a disciple? And how are we supposed to actually make a disciple? You know, I think these are pretty important questions. And to me, it has everything to do with the simple church journey. In fact, it's, I would say, the root question that's led me on this path. But how would you answer those questions, Tom? Do you have any thoughts about what is a disciple and how do you make disciples in your all's house church network?
Well, from the scripture you read before, I think there's part of the answer there. Teaching them to observe, them being the new disciples that you've just made and baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Yeah. Paul later says that, you know, we are to be conformed to the image of Christ. So I think a disciple is a follower of Christ and one that wants to become like Christ. You know, not that we can ever achieve that, you know, in any kind of perfection, but my life is now centered around Christ, and I want to be like him. I want to reflect him. I want to teach others about him. I want to tell my story of, you know, how I came to know him. I want to introduce Jesus to others.
Yeah.
And not just so they'll say a prayer and you know, punch their ticket and say, you know, I'm a Christian now. But nope, I don't want that for me. I want to, every day, I want next year to be, I'm living a better Christian life. I'm more conformed to Jesus.
Yeah.
And the next year, and I want people around me to be closer to Jesus as well.
Yeah.
And I want more people around me to be closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's where I hope my heart is, and I hope my actions reflect that.
Yeah.
They don't often, but.
I was wrestling with this question, and I felt like the verse that kept coming to my mind and my heart as I was spending some time really reflecting on this a while back, just where Jesus, he shares, and he says in John 10:27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how I've kind of grown to define a disciple in many ways, is someone that knows Jesus, they know him, they love him, they hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to hear his voice and obey it. And again, that gets back to the Great Commission, teaching people to obey. You know, sometimes I think we can miss that obedience part of the Great Commission, that it is about helping people to obey. And how do we do that? You know, I think Jesus was the perfect model for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if you're listening out there, you know, maybe you've heard of the Master Plan of Evangelism, which was a great book, which I think really probably appropriately titled would be The Master Plan of Discipleship that Robert Coleman wrote. And then, it's a great resource that kind of, I think, goes through and just says, hey, here was Jesus's plan. It wasn't just a haphazard plan. He came to make disciples and begin this work, and that's continuing through us today. How did he do it? And, you know, it's interesting that he did not start with a new synagogue. You know, he was rejected in the synagogue, and you know, he didn't say, well, I'm going to start a new synagogue. And I think so many times we get it backwards. We say, well, let's start a church, and then let's figure out how this church can then make disciples. When Jesus did not take that approach, at the very least, he went about his life making disciples, and then he built the church from that. And there's, you know, we have this saying we say a lot in a lot of circles. People have repeated it. It's just that, you know, we make disciples, Jesus builds the church. And I think we can too easily get the cart before the horse on that. We want to focus and talk and spend all of our energies on starting a church. And so I think, how do we help people learn to know God, hear his voice, and follow him? I think it is what you said, Tom. I think it's a lot. It has everything to do with relationships. And
yeah,
it's not a program. There's not a necessary, you know, there may be a workbook or a tool that you would use, but you know, you don't finish a 12-week study and become a disciple.
There's not a silver bullet.
There is not. There is
not one thing that will fit everything. What works for some people will not work with others. We've seen that over and over with our international students, and it's almost tailor-made for each person.
It is.
You have to really look at each person individually.
I think friendship is a key, in intentional friendship. I mean, I have some friends who are Christians, but I don't know that we really do a whole lot as far as sharpening each other and pointing each other toward Jesus. I mean, even then, our conversations can be about surface type things. They can be about, you know, I mean, they can be sporadic. You know, they can be occasional if I happen to bump into them. And so one of the things I think discipleship at the very least involves is this idea of having intentional Christ-centered friendships. And what that might look like could look differently. I think it involves probably prayer and reading the Bible. And it helps, and probably involves like spending time with each other and helping each other to do things. If somebody says, man, I feel like God's leading me to go help distribute food at the food bank, then saying, hey, I'll go with you, you know, mm-hmm. and to help them to do it, to have the courage to go take that first step or to share their faith with somebody. You go help them, or you pray for them and call them and see how it went. You know, it is relational. And I think we see that in Jesus. I do. And to me, that this strikes at the heartbeat of simple church. You know, there's lots of ways I think God can start a simple church, and there's lots of ways that people going down this path can frame it up and think about it. And you can probably call 10 people today who are Christians, and as we talked about, maybe not happy with going to church, traditional church, and get them in your house, and boom, there you have a simple church meeting. But I really think that we miss something if at some point, and I'd preferably maybe at step one, we don't make this about investing in people, reaching lost people, helping them to begin a journey with Jesus to where they can know him, hear his voice, and learn for themselves to obey the things that God is sharing and speaking to them through his word, through prayer, through, you know, however, all the many ways that God speaks to people. So I just wanted to bring that up today because I think this is essential to this conversation. And if there are people out here that you picked up this podcast, you're intrigued by the idea, I really encourage, I mean, I'm a big believer of starting here with this conversation with your spouse if you're married and saying, you know, hey, how are we as a husband and wife going to start making disciples? Forget church, forget all the things you think, and just ask yourself simply the question, how could we start making disciples in much the same way that Jesus modeled, giving appropriate attention to really that he is the master disciple maker still, that we're a part of that process. We're not making disciples of us. We're making disciples of Jesus. Right. And he's still very much involved in that. And I think helping people to hear his voice is huge.
Well, one of the things that that made me think of when you were discussing that is, what is our vocation and what do we do with our day-to-day lives, and how are we exposed to people who need Jesus? You know, if we spend all our time in a church environment surrounded by other Christians, we never get out. Maybe you're in ministry and all you do is church. You may have a few contacts out there that, you know, of unbelieving people, but how do you do that? How do you interact with unbelievers? Where do you find them? Where do you live your life with them? Are you part of their life?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that it's a danger both for the traditional church and for the house church.
Yeah.
We get insulated and we get inwardly focused, and we forget about the people out there. Unless like you said, the key word is intentional.
Yeah.
You have to plan on doing this.
My default, I realize, is not to go and, you know, I would like to think that if I just wake up and left to my own self that I will just go out and do this. But I kind of come to realize I don't think that I will. If I do, it'll be despite me. It won't be because of any sort of thing. And that, I think that was my approach to discipleship, quite frankly, for a long time. I just was kind of like, well, I'm going to do a bunch of Christian stuff.
Yeah.
If people ask me to come speak, I'll come speak. If we're going to do a camp, we'll do a retreat. We'll do a men's meeting. We'll do a whatever. And just doing Christian events, meetings, boom, boom, boom. It's like if there's a big wall called discipleship, just throwing as many things at it. And at the end of the day, with the idea, I kind of hope some of this sticks.
Yeah.
And by God's grace, I think those things do. And I think that there's a lot of people out there who most people don't think they're qualified or capable of making disciples. They don't think they ever have. Well, they've probably been a part of the discipleship process, even maybe without knowing it. And I think that was true for me. I mean, I can think of guys. We never said, "Okay, this guy's going to disciple me, and now we're going to start on this day and end on this day." I've never really had that, but I can certainly name guys that have discipled me. And you know what? It was never like even a formal thing. It was just really friendship. These guys
didn't sign a contract.
No, it was just like, "Hey, I'd like to just be." I think the best discipleship kind of happens when people don't even know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
natural.
Can we just
hang out?
Yeah. But there is intentionality in that, in the heart of us, I think, where we say, you know what, I need a friend in my life. Personally, it's not me because I'm at some level that, and I see all these people walking around that just need my involvement in their life. I need people in my life, where regardless of where they are with Christ, if they're willing to help me focus on Jesus by asking me a few questions and praying for me and maybe sharing, you know, thoughts about the Bible, reading it together, and helping me to learn to hear God's voice, that's the kind of friendships that I want to have with everybody, my wife, my children, and people that I might meet at the skate park today. You know, and I think that's a big thing that in this piece of this puzzle that I have a real heart for is how do we help people? There are a lot of people, maybe you listening to this podcast, if somebody came up to you today and you got a conversation with someone at the grocery store or at your workplace, and you could tell that they were spiritually interested in walking with Jesus, would you be prepared to help them to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have been prepared to tell them to go to church, meet me at church, go sign up for a class, I heard about a good book you ought to check out, you know, these sorts of things. But are we the kind of people who are preparing and equipped? We're ready right now to begin offering an intentional, Christ-centered friendship with people. And what might that look like?
Right.
And if we can't do that with one person today, I don't think that, I think that's step one. And the best simple churches will be, I think, when they are missional in that sense, and they're about the Great Commission, and people are learning to invite people into that kind of friendship, that'll be an incredibly good foundation. Mm-hmm. That's really a passion of mine.
You mentioned teaching and hanging out with someone. And one of the big concepts in Simple Church, if you do any kind of reading or research into this, how do you disciple someone within your Simple Church? And the question, the answer always comes up with one word: mentorship.
You know, yeah. You
mentor someone. You're mentoring someone. Someone is mentoring you. It's not, you know, you don't sit in a classroom.
Yeah.
Go through a book together and think, okay, now everyone's on the same level. You know, everyone is mentoring someone else. And again, you may not even be aware you're doing it. Someone's looking at you and they're really seeing what you're going to do next. What are you going to do in this situation? And then they'll react to that.
Yeah.
So it's mentorship, and you can't do that without hanging out with each other.
Yeah. I'll say too, you know, and I'm, if anyone's listening, they hear me talk about this a lot if they're from around here, because when I was with FCA, I remember toward the end of my time with FCA especially, I really started to see what I was doing is really mostly trying to be involved in discipleship of coaches. I felt like that was kind of, and is a large part of what FCA is about, but that really was where my heart was moving. And I probably tried every little book imaginable to go through with a coach. And what do we, you know, and again, it was very linear, programmatic, kind of like, let's do this book, a very academic approach to discipleship. And there's all kinds of things. Discipleship, which I think is a great thing, no matter what kind of church you go to, if you're listening to this, you probably, it's discipleship is kind of a popular concept these days, it seems, in a lot of churches of all kinds, but which I think is wonderful, mm-hmm. By the way. But I think that, you know, Neil Cole has written a lot about discipleship. If you were to go to our website and just simplechurchalliance.com and search under the blog Life Transformation Groups,
go to Neil's website,
or his,
CMAResources.org.
Most of the things on our website just link to his. But and we've written about that and have some testimonies about it. But I think that's a great way of thinking of it, is that to say, hey, let's have a friendship where we're going to be centered around, you know, let's be intentional about it. Let's read the Bible. Let's read a lot of the Bible together, and, you know, put ourselves in position at least throughout the week to hear God speak to us, and believe that God will. And then let's meet together and talk about, hey, well, how did you hear God this week as you read the Word? What were the things He showed you and spoke to you about? And what are you going to do about it? And how can I help you obey those things? You know, and you know, man, who's God putting in your life that we can be praying for and that He's calling you to reach out to? And how can I hold you accountable? That's the big things He talks about, which I've been involved with that now for 3 years, and that's been really, it's not been smooth always, but I've certainly read more of the Bible, and I think learned to hear God's voice more than I ever have, and that's been really wonderful. But He talks about reading the Word, holding each other accountable at some level, and again, that doesn't have to be a formula type of thing, but just by being there, and then also just praying together. You know, and learning to have friendships where those kinds of things are a characteristic, I think, is huge. If we can do that with one other person, then we can help other people see that and experience that type mm-hmm. of relationship with brothers, and then that spills into your Simple Church community.
Yeah, and some of the key ingredients, you know, again, we mentioned, you know, programs aren't the answer, but some key ingredients, you mentioned two of them, Bible intake, reading the Bible, or you know, some kind of intake through, whether it's storytelling or audio or reading together or reading separately, there's got to be that, and there's got to be some kind of processing of what you're hearing, and then you mentioned prayer. That's also key. I mean, because Christianity, if nothing else, it's a relationship. It's not a set of rules. It's a relationship. How are you going to relate to the God of the universe unless you learn how to pray?
Yeah, maybe for somebody out there today, just listening, a great first step would be to just offer to pray with someone today at your workplace, your wife, your spouse, your children. Just say, hey, why don't we take time out and pray? I think that'd be a good application here for us. So.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways.